Hello, welcome to the next lesson in our Isaiah series. In the last two chapters of Isaiah that we looked at, Isaiah wants to make the point that Babylon is empty, and that their gods and their theology is empty, and that they are empty in the sense of their political operations and as a country and as a nation. And God wants to assure his people that he is with them and willing to work with them and not to be lured by Babylon and the attraction of them being the dominant power and what that looks like. And here we have another discussion in our passage today of God looking to bring his people out and looking to rescue them. And the people are still reluctant. And so God is going to unveil a further part of his plan as far as what he's going to do in an effort to save his people. So when we look at chapter 48, God makes three decisions. Israel will not respond positively, and Israel has not responded positively. For all the things that the prophet has talked about in the previous chapters about what God has done in the past and the things that God plans to do in the future, Israel still isn't willing to respond in the way that God expects. And so God will appoint a teacher, someone to teach the people and instruct them in the ways that they should go and the things that they should learn. And then the people are to be free. They're allowed to exit, and their exile will be over. And at the end of chapter 48, they'll be told, it's time to go home. Go ahead and do that. And so that's chapter 48, and then we have another interesting passage in 49. Three times so far in our chapters from 40 through 48, including what we'll look at today, Israel has been rebuked. There have been some pretty harsh discussions from the prophet about why the people have failed to be who God wants them to be. So the first time in chapter 42, 18 through 25, Israel is blind. They have eyes to see, but they can't see, and they don't understand captivity. Israel is also rebuked in 43 because they worship, but they don't worship the Lord. They are worshiping inappropriately and being lured by the foreign gods and the theology of Babylon. And what we'll see today is Israel remains stubborn and does not understand captivity, similar to the first rebuke that the prophet gives to the people. Each of these rebukes is followed up with a message of hope. The first with a sense of fear not, that God wants the people to know that they don't need to fear, that he is with them and he is coming to save and to rescue them. The same with the second. Don't fear, this theme that's throughout this part of Isaiah, that the people are afraid, they're concerned about their circumstances, they're not in a place that they would like to be, both physically, spiritually, economically, and God wants to know, I am with you, and do not fear at this time. So that follows up the second rebuke. And with the third one, God's going to announce a new plan. There's going to be a new direction he's going to go with these people, and he is going to be with them. So let's read part of 48, and then we'll discuss and see what Isaiah has to say. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and who came forth from the loins of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord, and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. For they call themselves after the holy city, and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. The former things I declared long ago, they went out from my mouth, and I made them known. Then suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead brass. I declared them to you from long ago. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you, so that you would not say, my idol did them, my carved image and my cast image commanded them. You have heard. Now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forward, I make you hear new things, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you have never heard of them, so that you could not say, I already knew them. You have never heard, you have never known. From of old, your ear has not been open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously, and that from birth you were called a rebel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, so that I may not cut you off. See, I have refined you, but not like silver. I have tested you in the furnace of adversity. For my own sake, I do it. Why should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." What this passage starts with is many instances of the Hebrew verb for to hear. There's hear this, but it's used in other ways as well. Understand, let these things be heard, and it's used about 20 times in this first part of chapter 48. And God wants the people to listen to what the prophet is saying. It's like he's saying, if I've told you once, I've told you 20 times. Understand what I'm trying to get across. And this is part of his critique of the people of Israel. Who is this God? And that's what God wants to say. The people have misunderstood. And there are several sins that are listed that the people are guilty of. As they will say, you confess God, but you don't do it in truth. You don't do it correctly. You call yourself after the holy city, but you're not living in ways that correspond to what that means. And so your self-identification with the holy place of God is not appropriate. Verse 4, God will say, I've done these things, I've declared these things because I knew that you were obstinate and your neck is an iron sinew. Your neck is tough, stiff-necked, and your forehead brass. And so the people are not willing and open to the things that God has done among them. And they're tough and obstinate in that way. They don't listen. Verse 8, you've never heard, you've never known, from old your ear has not been opened. You have rebelled from birth. And verse 11, your resistance profanes the name of God. And so the people have failed to be convinced from what the prophet has said and from what God has done, from the things that have happened so far. And Isaiah will talk about the former things again in this passage. The former things is something that we've heard several times throughout this part of Isaiah, as Isaiah is going to recall what God has done formerly, both with the creation of the world, both with rescuing his people in times past, and then also in a negative sense, the former things in regards to the punishments that brought them into Babylon and into Babylonian captivity. And so these are the things that have happened to the people, especially the recent punishment, and he wants them to be mindful of that. God says, I announce these things in advance, and I have done them. So he's wanting to bring himself before them as a trustworthy God and one who is able to say something and then do it and follow through with it. And that's something that we saw also in chapters 46 and in 47. God wants these things to be done and wants to be able to say them so that the people can't say, my idol did this. There in verse 5. So again, the people of God here in this foreign land are still being tempted with idolatry and are still wanting to attribute the good things that are happening to them to these foreign gods. And Yahweh, the God of Israel, is having none of that. Interesting thing in this part is why God says that he is doing these things. And we come to a very well-known Old Testament idea in 48:9. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, so that I might not cut you off. And several times throughout the Old Testament, God talks about his name's sake, like God's reputation. A famous one of these is in Psalm 23, where he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it's like God has a reputation and a character that he wants to uphold. And that's often where his mercy comes out, that he's going to deal with people, his people, even when they reject him and are obstinate and stiff-necked. He's going to deal with them mercifully and graciously to carry out his plans, because that's what God does, and that's who he is. And he needs to then do those things, he says, for his name's sake, for his reputation, to kind of confirm his character and who he is. So that's something that's throughout the Old Testament, has God saying, this is why I'm doing these things, for my name's sake, for the sake of my praise. He'll say in verse 10, I've refined you, but it has not been successful. You have not given the results that I've expected from the refining. But again in verse 11, for my own sake, for my own sake. He's not stuttering, he's wanting to bring this across for emphasis. I do it. My name will not be profaned, the Lord says, and my glory I will not give to another. So that's the first part of the passage there. And God's going to say, I will do these things. And that's what God does. And again, trying to bring across to the exiles that he is willing and able to assist them in their time of need. So, let's look at 12 through 17, and God's going to talk about being a teacher and a leader. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel whom I called. I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they stand at attention. Assemble, all of you, and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall perform his purpose on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken and called him. I have brought him, and he will prosper in his ways. Draw near to me, hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you for your own good, who leads you out in the way you should go. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments! Then your prosperity would have been like a river, and your success like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand, and your descendants like its grains. Their name would never have been cut off or destroyed from before me. And so God has said, you have been stubborn, and yet I am here. I am here for you. And who am I? And God speaks about himself in this cosmic grand language. I am he who called you. I am the first and the last. You can hear echoes of Alpha and Omega there from the New Testament. 13, my hand laid the foundations of the earth. God's going to take the people all the way back to creation and his role in forming all things. And he is going to bring about his purposes against the Chaldeans. The Lord loves him, and he is going to do these things. Verse 15 looks like it's about Cyrus again, that God is saying, I have called this person, the character that's called Messiah earlier, and he is going to be my instrument in bringing about this salvation for my people. I have done this, and then God says, I'm declaring it to you. Verse 16, again, one of these times where God says, I'm doing these things, and I've announced these things, and I'm going to do them. I'm going to carry them forward and bring them to pass. So draw near to me and hear this. And God wants to rely on the things that he has done and his reputation to say to the people, this is why these things are going to happen. God says, so I am in the role, I'm of a teacher and a leader, and I'm going to take you back to your land, back to where you were. And we have some very comforting words here in verse 18, or at least they should have been comforting to the people. God says, had you paid attention to my commandments? Oh, that you had. Then, and there's a list of these promises that Israel had that were there for the people of God that they have chosen to ignore because of their refusal to follow God. And some very beautiful and poetic words here. Your prosperity would have been like a river. The King James says your peace would have been like a river. And you can hear the words of the famous hymn there, when peace like a river. This is something that was promised to the people of God. Your success like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand. Your descendants like its grain. Their name would have never been cut off or destroyed from before me. So some very strong words here from God saying, these things have come upon you because of your refusal to follow me. That's what should have been. And I am the God who can do these things for you again. But you're in these circumstances because you have failed to be the people that I've wanted you to be. My goal, though, my purpose, is to bless you and to bless my people. And that's part of God's underlying promise from way back in the first pages of the Bible through the end. And here he is dealing with people, and he's going to bless them and to take care of them for his name's sake, despite their reluctance to be the people that he wants them to be. So the end of the chapter comes this summons, or ends with this summons to go back, that God is going to lead you back to your homeland, back to the place that he has promised them. Go out from Babylon, flee from Chaldea, declare this with a shout of joy and proclaim it. Send it forth to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split open the rock, and the water gushed out. And so we have here this command to leave Babylon. And what we know from history is some of the Jews did. Some of them were too comfortable with Babylonian life and culture and the trappings of the empire, so they stayed. But there were people that heeded the prophet's command and God's message through him. And to go home, back to the land, and say, and who has done this? 21 or 20? The Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. The Lord, Yahweh, is the one that has brought this about. And in 21, we have this poetic description that reminds people of the Exodus, that when he led them through the deserts, they didn't thirst. God took care of them. And he took care of them then. He will take care of people now. That's the kind of God that he is. And even in these dark times, God is wanting to rescue and save his people and to bring them out. Then we have a verse that seems inserted here in a strange way. 48:22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. This verse is also in very similar wording in chapter 57, 20 and 21. And at that point, it ends up being the end of a section. And I think it's here as well as Isaiah's way of saying, this is the end of a section. And Isaiah kind of pivots a little bit, and we get to something else in chapter 49. Then when we get to 49, Isaiah switches to another one of the servant passages. And there's four of these in the part of Isaiah that we're studying this quarter, and this is the second one. And so Isaiah has announced that the people are to be released, and they're to be free and to go home. But what is that they're to do when they're there? And what is God's purpose for the people? And there's some discussions about who this servant is. Is this servant the nation of Israel as a whole? Is it a specific individual within the nation? Or is it forward-looking to someone that will come in the future, a future prophet or maybe Jesus? So let's look and see what Isaiah says about the servant and what his role is for the people of God. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me from before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to the one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, on a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the way. On all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the lands of Syene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have compassion on his suffering ones. And so here the servant is told, here are the things that you are to do. Here are the qualities and the role of the servant. We see that the servant in verse 1 was called from the womb. His mouth is like a sharp sword. The words that come out are to be instructive and strong. They're like a polished arrow. So hidden in the quiver of God, the servant is there ready to do God's bidding through his words and through his message. The servant is called Israel here, called by the name Israel. And the servant believes he is a failure. And yet believes that because of God, God is with him despite the lack of success that he has felt so far. And God reaffirms the servant's role is to bring the people home, to return Jacob, verse 5, back to him. Well, that's what God wants the servant to do and to restore them. And the purpose of this, verse 6, is so that they will be a light to the nations. Even though they are abhorred by the nations and despised, the goal is for God's people to be a light to all who are around. And then to bring people from all over, to the prisoners and those who are in darkness, all along the way, from the north, from the west, the lands of Syene, which is in southern Egypt, these people are to all be brought together. They shall not hunger or thirst. Scorching wind nor sun will strike them down. God has pity on these people, and his goal for the servant is to bring them all together. And so we see the servant's role is to be this bright light to all those who are around and to gather God's people together into the land where they will be safe, where they will be protected, and where they will be looked after. And the result of this is a cause for joy and for celebration. You know, sing for joy, O heavens, and exult. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. Why? The Lord has comforted his people. He will have compassion on his suffering ones. And so here again, Isaiah is saying there is a servant that God has in mind, and the identity of the servant is a little ambiguous, but the purpose of the servant is not. And the goals that God has for his people brought about through the servant are pretty clear. And they're to be this beacon for God's purposes and hopes to all those who are around. And even when they feel like they might be failures, God says the servant should take heart, the people should take heart, because he is with them. And God champions their cause. And so because of that belief, they can do and be who God wants them to do and to be. So we can see that this is certainly used later on for Jesus and his role in bringing about salvation for all mankind, but it's also prefigured here as a message of hope for these people as they're leaving Babylon, that God has a role for them and a purpose for them in bringing them back, and he wants things for them when they return to the land so that they can be his people, his inheritance, and his cause. And as we saw in chapter 48, he wants this to be done for his name's sake. So as we think about this chapter, think about the resistance that the people of God have to God's plans. And what does that look like today? What resistance do people have to what God is trying to do? Time and time again in the Old Testament, when God meets with resistance from his chosen people, he will, yes, punish them at times, but also ultimately work through them and accomplish his purposes for his name's sake. God wants to make sure that his character, his reputation, and such are held up, and he is going to do that despite the failures of his people. God will teach his people, God will lead his people, God will bring them out so that they will be a light to those around them, and this will result in joy towards God. Singing for joy, breaking forth into singing because the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. We're not in exile right now, but we aren't in circumstances that we would choose at the moment. And God still has a plan for his people, and still has a plan to rescue his people, and still wants his people to be a light to the nations, and to bring in those from all around to be part of his people for the praise of his name, for the sake of his name, and God will have compassion on his suffering ones. And if you're suffering, if you're doubting, if you're wondering kind of where God is or what's going on, take heart in these words from Isaiah in what the prophet is saying God wants to do through and for his people. It was true in Isaiah's day. It's true today in a different sense, but it's the same God for his same name's sake that still wants to accomplish his purposes through and for his people today.